and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, if you look at abide in there, you've got it 9 times in various forms in those few passages. If you look at verse 9 down, you'll see that 10 times you have the word love. 8 times you have the word fruit in these passages. So you've got abiding and fruit in there is the emphasis of the passages that we're looking at this morning. There's some controversy about it because there's some what I would call now hyper-dispensationalists, which I was taught. This is teaching you can lose your salvation, but even the pronouns give it away that is not the case. Lose your salvation outside the church age. What they do is they say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're under the law. This is about that time, and you can lose your salvation, and here's a proof text. But it's going to be pretty easy for me to show you that that's not the case. The title of my message is You Can't Abide If You Never Abode. So you can't abide if you never abode. The people that he's saying abide in me, he's saying, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, why isn't he abiding in him? Because he never abode. And I was studying this when I was in Jacksonville yesterday morning. Poor Judy, she's in the hotel room and, you know, I got to get up, I got to study, so I start studying, and I don't have a separate room. This morning I got up at 5:30 and went in my own room. Of course, I'm in and out of my room, and she still had her phone, her alarm set on Eastern time. Well, you know what happens whenever you do that and you turn the alarm on. Well, an hour early, I'm looking at my watch going, I don't think Judy changed the clock. Poor thing, you know. But then she's up, you know, she's used 2 days over in Eastern time. She was used to it. She's ready to go. And what I do is I deliver her water. We drink 12 ounces of water first thing in the morning. So I go and I'll go out of the room and I'll come back in real quiet and I'll put the water in the bathroom. Then I come back out and then when she gets up, she's got her 12 ounces of water that she can drink before she eats anything. And it's just a routine we're getting into. I'm the kind, thoughtful, considerate husband. And Judy is all those things, but she's the wife. And we're going to keep it that way. But here, getting back to the scripture, so that verse 6, I saw yesterday, and I was so excited. If a man abide not in me. I mean, I never really saw it that way. I mean, yeah, I get it. I'm not teaching anything different than what I would have taught today. But if a man abide not in me, how does he not abide? Because he never abode. He didn't like, I got to work it up and abide in the, you know, I've got to do it. It's all about me. And that's what works faith salvation is. It's all about the individual, not about God. That's problematic. That's what caused me to rethink the whole thing. I realized that the guys that were teaching that and what I was taught about works plus faith for salvation outside the church age was really about, man, how do you get salvation in Daniel's 70th week? Well, you know, you got to be the better shot, have the more guns, have the better food, have more stored food. You know, that's not. It's all about God. Salvation's all about God from Genesis through Revelation. That's it. That solved it for me. He says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So you have no fruit and more fruit here. How do you get more fruit? God purges you. It hurts to be purged. I remember we were growing tomatoes that first time, and we would take, what's the sucker branch in between? We'd clip that off. We had tomatoes, I mean, it was virgin soil, and we were in the lowest part of the property. All those houses up there, all their soil came down to our property. Our top soil was, I'll bet, 2 feet tall. I mean, it was, and we did another 12 feet, 12 by 12, 12 by 24, you know, 24 by 24 and so on, the 4 years that we were able to have a garden. And man, those tomatoes were that big. My wife will say, oh, no, they were not. You can touch your fingers. Evangelistically, remember, I was an evangelist 19 years. Evangelistically speaking, I mean, they were huge. So he says, if you bear not fruit, he taketh them away. If you study your Bible, Matthew 24, 40 and 41, it says, he said, there are two in the field. One is taken, the other is left. People say, well, that's the rapture. No, it's not. The ones that are taken in death. Matthew 24. They're taken in death. The ones that remain are the ones that God sends His angels to protect in Matthew 24. And that's the big difference. So when they're taken away, they're taken in death. So here's the point. If you bear not fruit, He taketh them away in death. And every branch that beareth fruit, so you're bearing fruit, what do you want to do? You want to bear more fruit. You know, I don't want to just bear enough fruit. I want to bear fruit abundantly for my Lord. How does He do it? He purges you. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes He lets you go through the fire. Sometimes He allows you to suffer persecution or to go through things that none of us would say, well, that's what I want. I want to suffer for the glory of God. No, I'd rather not. But if I was going to suffer, I'd rather suffer for doing right than for doing wrong. The Bible makes that point too. So here's what He says. He says, if you bear not fruit, He taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Everything done in your life is for your good. To bear more fruit. Next verse. Now ye, notice the pronoun, ye are clean through what? Through working and trying to abide? No, you're clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. In Ephesians 5:26, the Bible talks about the washing of the water by the Word. So you see, it's all about the Word. You know what makes me clean every day? The Word. You know what happens whenever you struggle in life a little bit and you get out of whack, you get away from the Word, you start getting a little bit dirty, worldly dirty. And the more you get away from it, the further you get away from God, the further you get away from the Word, the more that you will be more like the world. I don't want to be like the world. You can't completely separate from it. I got news for you. You can't. You go to the grocery store and there's magazines there and the magazines have advertisements on them. And I don't think they're as bad as they used to be, because I remember I used to be, you know, it'd be like, whoa, man. You know, now I guess, well, maybe I'm just older. I just don't pay attention. I know what it is. We're all sitting in line like this. And we don't see the magazines. That's what it is. I just figured that out. Well, good for me. I'm going to keep doing that. Except I need to quit walking across the street like that. somebody grabbed me the other day. I don't know if it was Judy, but somebody grabbed me because I was focused on my phone like an idiot should be. I wasn't talking about myself. I was actually talking to the guy next to me. No. So you're clean through the Word. Clean through the Word. I want to be clean. Washing of the water by the Word. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot. How do you abide in Him? Well, if you're not bearing fruit, He taketh you away. Therefore, you won't be abiding in Him if He takes you away. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And again, this is not some work that we've got to work up. It isn't all about, you know, he's saying, well, you know, back then in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they had to work on abiding. They had to abide in the Lord. They had to work on staying saved. Has nothing to do with it. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Who's it all about? Without me ye can do nothing. God gets the glory. That's why we talk about giving God the glory so much. Just look at that verse. Without me ye can do a little bit. Nothing. Without me, you can excel in life. I'm a self-made man, some people say. No, without me, you can do nothing. Your self-made manism will only get you as far as death. And then even that, you're going to wish you'd done a whole lot more in your life. I enjoy life because I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy life because I have a life that I live in such a way that I give it all I can give, because there is nothing else, really. How you impact people, how you affect lives, how you, like I was telling you about the thank you note in the devotionals. Well, I'd love for them to read the devotionals. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I sent a copy of my book, or four copies. It was all my prophecy books, including the one where I'm teaching something like this. In fact, I think there's a thing on the true vine in there. And I told him, I said, this is what I believe, in a letter. He wrote me back. He says, oh, well, you don't believe in dispensational salvation. I said, yeah, I do. I don't believe anybody was looking forward to the cross, so they weren't trusting in the cross like we do. Therefore, dispensational salvation is true. But I don't believe it like you believe it, because I used to believe it that way, and now I don't. And I said, look, I sent you the books. Whether you read them or not, it doesn't matter to me. Really doesn't. My job is to put truth in people's hands. It's your job, his job, everybody else's job, to do what you will with truth. It's not your job to make somebody else see the truth. You know what your job is? Your job is to make sure that you're preaching the truth, teaching the truth, conveying the truth, living the truth, so other people can see the truth in you. And you make a difference. But it isn't, well, I've got to make everybody believe like I believe. No. You can't force anybody into Christianity. You can't force many people into the truth either. You convey the truth and leave the results up to God. Why? Because he says, without me, you can do nothing. It's all about God. It is all about God. So he says, fruit in verse 2, more fruit in verse 2, and much fruit in verse 5. In Mark chapter 4, verse 8, he talks about the seed that fell on good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Different type of seed bearing. I want to be a 100-fold seed planter, or seed, or whatever you want to call it. I want to be the much fruit. But sometimes in my life, I've been less fruitful. Hopefully not fruitless, but I think there were times in my life when I was a little fruitless. I have never been a fruit loop. A little politically incorrect stuff for those of you in the know. For those of you on the West Coast, land of fruits and nuts, whatever. Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 5. Let me show you what it says about Israel and the vine. Because you know what he says? I'm the true vine. And so we got to run a couple of references on this and make sure that we understand the context of this. And you tell me who was the vine back here with the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, the song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain not upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry. He's saying that nation of Israel was supposed to do right, be right. They were supposed to be the vine. They were supposed to be the ones that evangelized the world, and they chose not to do it. He did everything. God did everything he can do. You know what God does for you? Everything he can do. Within his power. You know what his power is limited by? It's limited by how he wants to limit himself. How does he limit himself? He doesn't push his will upon you. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He doesn't make you do what he wants you to do. Otherwise, if you got to heaven, which hopefully you all are going, if you got to heaven, you could blame everything on God. I had no choice, God. I had no free will. It's not my fault. It's your fault. There is no judgment at the judgment seat of Christ because everything you did was preordained by God and you had no power over it. That is ludicrous to think that's the case. It can't be. It can't be. That vine back there, those wild grapes, God did everything right, but man still has a choice. In the Garden of Eden, he put a tree in there and he said, "Thou, you can eat of any tree in the garden except for one tree, tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He said, you have freedom to eat of all of them, but one. All I give you is one command. Don't eat of that tree. What did man do? Ate of the tree. Why? Because that's what free will bring. But you know something that I love about that concept is I have a choice to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and I have that free choice to do it. And if I do it, and to the extent that I do it, it's because I chose to do it. I chose to love Him. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? In Jeremiah 2:21, it says they turned into a degenerate plant. Boy, that sounds tough. Turned into a degenerate plant there in Jeremiah 2:21. And then you look at Hosea chapter 10. At least it's a nice ring to it. Hosea chapter 10, in verse 1, it talks about the empty vine. The empty vine. And I'm not going to go through all those passages because I don't want to get bogged down right now. But he talks about that vine, that vineyard, and it's Israel back there. Now Jesus is the true vine. That means there's a false vine. Israel went away from God, and that's why God judged that nation. You have to understand your Bible. When you go back in the Old Testament, there was a reason why the nation of Israel was different. They dressed differently. They ate differently. Bless them. I'd hate not to be able to eat shrimp and lobster and all that stuff. But that was because they were to be peculiar. Do you know who's supposed to be peculiar today? We are. We're supposed to look a little different. Talk a little different. Remember how Peter convinced them that he wasn't with Jesus? He talked just like the world. He cussed. He let her rip. And they said, man, you know, you've been with Jesus. No, I haven't. He denied him. Denied him again. Third time, he just blankety blank, blank, blank. And they went, no, he hadn't been with Jesus. What, a person cusses, they're not saved? I didn't say that. But by their fruits, you shall know them. If you're truly a Christian, your fruits ought to bear witness of that all the time. So going back to chapter 15 of John. And he says, verse 5 again, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. Without me, you can do nothing. And Philippians 4:13 sort of backs that up and says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, a better way really to understand that is to think about it. I'm not going to change the Bible, but you can move it around. Everything which strengtheneth you, you can do. You can't just do all things without exception. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's not true. I can do all things through Christ. Which things? It tells you right there. Which strengtheneth me. Anything that makes you a stronger Christian, you can do. With the power of God and the help of God. He says, without me, you can do nothing. And Philippians 4:13 talks about that and emphasizes it and makes it very clear. looking at that vine again. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Tree of life's in the Bible, I think, 9-10 times, something like that. 3 times in Genesis, 3 times in Proverbs, and 3 times in Revelation. Very interesting study. But it says the tree of the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You know what your fruit's supposed to be? It's supposed to be a tree of life. You're supposed to have root. You're to be rooted and grounded in the Word. And then as people see you, they see that fruit. And you know, they just go over and pluck off a little bit of it, and you give them nourishment. How? Through the Word that you learn. Through the Word that you live. The Word makes a difference in you, and then you make a difference in others because of the Word that is it's abiding in you. It's cleaned you up, and now God uses it to help other people. Listen, there's nothing more important in life than how you impact other people. Do you impact them with the gospel? Once they're saved, do you impact them with the truth? That's what we need to do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40, the Bible says, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Why do they need to be saved from that untoward generation? Because that true vine is the true vine, and Israel has corrupted it. And we're still during that period of time whenever Israel is prominent, and Jesus going to Israel. And later on, Peter says, listen, save yourselves from this untoward generation, because they're not worried about living for God. They're not listening. Remember in Sunday school, we looked at it and it says, listen, you can do anything. Well, they don't say that, but they say, just don't preach in that name, Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach in that name, Jesus. He says, ye can do, without me, ye can do nothing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a very familiar verse. But it bears repeating over and over and over again until we get it and we understand it. A Corinthian church was a very carnal church. He says, ye are yet carnal. They were bragging about who baptized them. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? All they are is ministers. All I am is a minister made by who you believe, or you believe the Bible more. Who gets the glory? God does. He says, even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. Listen, over and over again, it's all about God. If we keep that in mind and understand that it is God that gives the increase, without me he can do nothing, and we're told all things work together for good to them that love God. Listen, every verse that fits together will give you the picture that it's God, God, God. He goes on and he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And I could go on, but it's God that giveth the increase. That's what it's all about. No matter what we do in our lives, no matter what we do in this church, no matter what we do in this community or the state or the country or the world, world missions, no matter what we do, it's God that giveth the increase. It's God that gets the glory. And if we'll keep focused on that, listen, it'll help you live a sane life. It's hard to keep your sanity these days. It's hard to look at, and I've been reading up on some of this stuff that's going on the inflation and what they're projecting, and I said it 2 years ago. We had a deacon's meeting. I said, you know, inflation's going to hit, and you know, food, there are going to be food shortages, and we looked at some of those things, tasted some of them. They weren't, you know, I mean, it may last 40 years, but you're not going to want to eat them for 40 years. Listen. I tell you, prepare. Doesn't mean you got to be a prepper. All I'm telling you is this. If you buy something today, tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, it's going to cost more. So what do? Who knew that canned goods would be one of the best investments you can have? Could be. Just be forewarned. I've never been a prepper. don't believe in being a prepper. As far as, let's go stock all these weapons because we're going to shoot it out with our neighbor in case we got food and they don't. We're going to shoot it, and they're going to, you know, they say, well, we're going to shoot it out with the government. Yeah. Spit! Drones. Listen, I stood next to a drone. You get those drones, you fly them around. Drone. I mean, you know, yay high from here to the corner of the wall over there. I mean, baby, those things, they can see through walls. I'm going to hide. No, you're not. Right through the wall, you're dead. Look, don't let it worry you. Just remember, if it happens, I hope you're going to heaven. But I'm saying just think it through, prepare a little bit. I don't want you to, you know, I don't want you to think I'm trying to say, be scared. I'm just telling you realities of life. I'm a CPA. Economics were courses I had to take. Basic economics gave me more sense than Yellen or whatever her name is. Yeltsin, Yihatsin, Dotson, Putin. You know, did I tell you I got a text from a friend of mine? Yeah, I think I did. He's a colonel up in Virginia. He was homesick, and he said, "Hey, how'd the church take your joke?" I said, "I guess they all liked it. They all laughed." Of course, they were all under conviction later on. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Robert said I turned as red as my shirt. And you know, it is one of those, you know, it's one of those things. I'm praying about it. Lord, do I tell this joke? Lord, do I tell this joke? Yeah. Go. I mean, Lord didn't say, yeah. It wasn't him that was talking to me. But it was like, it's okay. You know, you don't remember enough of them to tell them often. You might as well tell one. So I did. Been under conviction about it ever since. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 30. Look at what the Bible says. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, sometimes we get to thinking that, you know, this Christian life is difficult. It really isn't. It isn't. My yoke that God puts on you is easy. My burden is light. Then why do we carry so many heavy burdens? Because they're not from God. They're not from God. That's the point. The point is, we get to thinking, oh man, I'm just going through life and I'm so burdened, I'm so overloaded, and I've got all the cares of the world upon me. Well, first of all, you don't. But God did not put those things there. I can get overwhelmed if I think about everything. I don't want to let that happen. God didn't put that on me. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And without Him, we can do nothing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, you need to go ahead and look these up if you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." That's why we should have no confidence in the flesh. Our sufficiency is of God. So why do we live in such a way that we think everything depends upon us? It doesn't. Do what you can, leave it up to God. Plant the seed, leave it up to God. Water the seed, leave it up to God. Watch the increase, give glory to God. That's the simple principle of life. Don't take everybody else's yoke. You know why it's important for everybody in the church to do their part? Because if we all do our part, then any one person, any group of people doesn't become overwhelmed because we all do what we can do, what God's called us to do. What's God called you to do? Maybe it's to teach Sunday school class. You say, well, you don't have Sunday school classes right now. We will. Teaching, work in the nursery. Well, you don't have nursery right now. We will. Go out on visitation. Well, we're not knocking on doors right now. Hey, I've got door hangers. They can go out. Yeah, COVID slowed it down. People don't want you knocking on their door. It's changing. So, but you gotta just do your part. What is your part? I appreciate Robert. Robert says, hey, I'm going to go visit so-and-so. Arlene says, I'm going to go cook for so-and-so. And y'all do all kinds of things. I'm going to use these two right now, and then we're going to move on. We'll talk about y'all tonight. Really? We're going to do Acts chapter 6. What is their murmuring? Well, you mentioned Robert and Arlene. You didn't mention everything I do. Yeah. Yeah. And that's Acts chapter 6. What about me, Pastor? I do a lot. And listen, I appreciate it, and the Lord knows it. And the Lord knows that I appreciate it. But I appreciate Robert saying, hey, I'm going to go visit so-and-so. I'm going to stop by and see Nancy in Dallas. Or and listen, Arlene cooks for too many people. Her husband's starting to lose weight. Which, the other one. Arlene wanted to know which husband that was. I'm just telling you, we are you going out to Kansas to that wedding? Anyway. All right, let's move on before I get really in trouble. Now, verse 6 is one of the key verses that'll blow you away. So look at the pronouns and get this. Look at verse 3. Now ye. Look at the last word in verse 3. You. So what is that? That's plural. He's talking to that group of people. And he says, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. At the end of the verse, verse 4, ye, more than ye, except ye abide in me, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So he's talking to this group. He says, without me, ye can do nothing. Look at verse 6, who's he talking to? The ye group? If a man. He's talking about somebody that never abode in Christ. He says, if a man abide not in me, how come he is not abiding in Christ? Because he never abode there. If a man, he doesn't say, well, if ye abide not in me, that would be a whole lot different because he's just told them that they do abide in him. So if he didn't change the pronoun and the emphasis to change it to where he's not talking to the same group. He's talking to another group or another individual. And he says, if a man abide not in me because he never abode in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered and men gather them. But wait a minute. Men gather them? That's not hell. You show me one verse in the Bible that says men are going to be gathering people to cast them into hell. No. Matthew 13, verse 40 says, the angels gather the tares to burn. The angels gather them, not men. So here it's talking about men gathering them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. They never abode in Christ. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this is a crucial thing because you got the name it, claim it group out there. Oh, man. All we got to do is name it, claim it, have enough faith, and it'll be done. It doesn't work that way. This is why you got to study your whole Bible. You got to study the whole thing right here. If you don't study this whole thing, you're going to get confused. So turn to Psalm 37 and let's see the context of this type of discussion. Psalm 37. Now, this might blow some of you away. I know when I first saw it, it did me. And some of you may have seen it, may not have seen it. If you haven't, it will be a great blessing to you. If you have, it will be a great blessing to you because it's truth. It just won't be shocking to you. Psalm 37. We could have read this verse, could have memorized this verse, and it's a great verse to memorize. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, how that teaching goes is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, whatever you desire, he'll give you. But that's not what it says. What does the Bible say? He shall give thee what? What's he going to give you? The desires. He's going to give you the desires. Not your desires He's going to give you. He's going to give you the very desires. So when you pray for anything and He gives you the desires, how are you going to be praying? You're going to be praying in the will of God. You're going to be praying for the right thing. Why? Because they're the desires that God gave you. Oh, I desire a new Cadillac. Did God give me that desire or did I create that desire? It didn't come from God, I don't think. Just kidding. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Do you know what I want? I want God to give me the desires of my heart. When my desires are wrong, I want Him to change my desires. So when I ask anything in His name, they are according to the desires that He gave me. And that's the content. I mean, listen, I'm giving you one verse, but it's there throughout the whole Bible. You don't name it, claim it. You don't control God. I don't have cancer. Doctor said you do. Well, yeah, but if I claim it, then I'll have it. If I believe it, then I'll have it. If I, by faith, don't believe I have it, then you're probably going to be deluded and not take the medicine or the shots or whatever they're telling you to do, and you're going to ignore them. And some people have, and some people have done that to their children. Why? Because they don't understand the Bible. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of thine heart. I like that. I want that. I don't want to be controlled by me. I want to be controlled by Him. So going back to John, and he says again, verse 7, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now here's the other caveat. If my words abide in you, what type of request do you think you're going to make if God's word abides in you, the one that makes you clean? They're going to be the right prayer requests. If you ask anything according to my will, I will do it unto you. How do you get anything according to His will? He gives you the desires. His word changes you. His word every day makes a difference in my life. It gives me direction. I don't always know what to do. And even after I prayed about it, I don't always know what to do. But you know what I do? I stand back and maybe I move a little bit slower in something. Or maybe I move really quickly in something, depending on what God shows. And even then, I'm not always right. I fail, just like you. You know what I want to do? I want to fail less. How do I fail less? Well, He gives me the desires of mine heart, and I recognize that. And then He directs me. And then when I pray, I'm asking according to His will. You know what the Bible says? The Holy Ghost makes intercession for us. With the groanings that, you know, and they butcher that. But go ahead and look at verse 8, and we'll close on this. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I want to be a much fruit bearer. I don't know what kind of English that is. You got a grammarian out there. I want to bear much fruit. How do you do that? How do you do that? Make sure it glorifies the Father. Everything we do, make sure it glorifies the Father. It'll make all the difference in the world. So, let's all stand together. I will pray and we'll have some music. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Thank You for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this earth. Your Son to die on that cross, to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Thank You for that. Thank You for being such a gracious, merciful, and wonderful God. Lord, we love You. And we need to love You more. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to you in some way, the altar is open.